This is Shop Talk, our weekly discussion of journalism issues. I'm Rich Egger.
I'm Rich Moreno.
And I'm Jasmine Crichton.
Let's talk today about the interactive nature of media websites. Some sites actually are cutting off comments to get rid of some of the offensive stuff. And I guess there's something to be said for that, but in doing so, don't they risk eliminating direct feedback from their audience?
Oh, exactly. I mean, I think that's the whole nature of the internet, is the interactivity. You know, when you – since the internet became popular, with the World Wide Web, et cetera.
The information superhighway.
Yeah, exactly. Right. But the whole idea is it's different from other media because – when you write a letter to the editor, you know, it takes time to get back to the when you call the radio station, they don't really usually do much with it. But here you can have a conversation with the media provider, the content provider, which makes the internet different. And yet you're taking away the one thing that makes it different from all the other media.
Yeah, it sets it apart from, you know, television, mm-hmm. radio, even print.
Yeah,
the internet allows you to access people at just any time. And I really think comments, well, I mean, they can be destructive sometimes. I won't argue that either, that it's not.
I mean, yeah. You can look at the comment section of any newspaper,
right.
And there's just trolls everywhere.
Yeah, but if you can look past the trolls, you can sometimes see, a constructive argument,
mm-hmm.
or viewers learning something from another viewer,
right.
You know, or someone who's on the internet. And sometimes that does happen, and I think that when you turn off the comments, you're doing a disservice to your audience.
I agree. And you know, I think there's also part of it, too. We like to read those comments when they're there. You know, we'll ignore the ones that are like, oh, my gosh.
Mm-hmm.
And then there's the ones who throw in ads.
Yeah, right.
and all the spam that gets tossed in there. But I do think you're right. Buried in there, there's some. And as a media person, it's also like I'm sure you can get story ideas. You get, like, follow-ups.
So. Well, I was just going to ask, have either of you seen something, gotten a comment – through the internet from the audience and followed up and turned it into a story?
I can't think of a specific example off the top of my head, but I'm pretty sure that at the Courier that the editors have looked in the comment sections and there have been people like, hey, well, you wrote about this. You should look into this, too. And so I'm sure there's been something that we've, you know, done something like that with. I just can't think of a specific example.
Yeah, and I don't have a specific example in that case, but I can say that when we talk to our audience on Facebook, usually our Facebook account is where we're getting the most comments, we've tried to educate our viewers because sometimes, you know, we've done those stories that have been about someone's family who's passed away and it's always mm-hmm. under terrible circumstances, it seems. And people get upset about, you know, we even covered the story and we've had to tell viewers, you know, this is our job is to report the news and we're sorry that, this involves your family, but this is a news story, you know. And we try to educate people as to what our jobs are. And sometimes you have to do that. You can't ignore all of those comments.
Mm-hmm. Sure.
So you mentioned getting the comments through the Facebook page rather mm-hmm. than the actual website.
Yeah.
And I actually think that's a better idea.
That would be an argument for maybe shutting down the comments section of a website is just that no one really comments on the website anymore. They get stuff through the social media
and
comment that way.
Yeah.
I'm not saying you should. You should still – I personally feel you should still – leave that comment section up there just in case someone wants to comment mm-hmm. directly at the bottom of the story. But we rarely see that. The comments come through other sources.
Yeah, and like you said, I recall 4 or 5 years ago, there were a lot more comments that were on the webpage beneath the stories for the Courier even than there are today, where there's one or two, you know, at the most. One thing I wanted to mention, when we were going to talk about this topic, I looked this up online. I found one newspaper that got rid of their comments and then two weeks later put it back, the Las Vegas Review Journal.
Oh, okay.
They had gotten tired of people complaining about the trolls and, you know, the this and that. It was kind of like reading talk radio, the way the arguments went on and on, you know, and they always disintegrated. They would start out, you know, in somewhat civil, and then they'd start arguing with each other over stuff. apparently the RJ there said that, and they actually ran an editorial, why we restored our comments board today. And they're basically decided to trust the commenters and say, you know, come on, be civil. If you're really offensive, we're going to remove the comments. But we're putting them back up because we do believe it's part of the, you know, the interactivity and the dialogue.
Left unsaid, perhaps, is that they started getting phone calls instead, and it was easier to just have people comment on the web or on Facebook rather than answering all those phone calls.
But before, you talk about phone calls were the way that we were getting information from people and getting that feedback, and it is a lot easier to manage an Internet account.
That's true. My first newspaper job, we had a phone-in line with an answering machine, and there was somebody's job was to sit there and listen to those and turn them into like a, you know, reader comments that would be in the, it was a weekly, we had time to do that. I didn't have to do it, thank God. But yeah, there, you know, you go over and there'd be like 30 messages, you know, and someone would be sitting over there with an earphone in, typing up, transcribing all these comments.
Yeah, the station I worked at in Bloomington Normal used to have something called Listeners Want to Know. And listeners could call in and record a question about something, and some reporter would be assigned to dig up some information and write a story about it. So this,
that's true.
With Facebook and even with the websites, I think has sort of replaced that a little bit.
Right.
I think.
Yeah. What we're doing should not be one way. We need to be able to get information back from our audience and get that feedback. And the Internet has just allowed us to get it much quicker.
And I think it helps get away from that whole ivory tower approach. A lot of media organizations where, you know, we just do what we think is news, et cetera. It does allow the public to have, you know, more involvement in the process. And I mean, and that's just the nature of news today, is that people want to be able to say what they do and don't like. This is not necessarily related to that, but there was a story that ran on NPR just recently about a guy, one of their reporters, who said that sort of related that he had received an email feedback, which, of course, is still a way you can, and ended up a complaint, and he ended up changing the story. It was
I don't think he changed the story
did
a follow-up and added a little more, I think, depth to the original report.
I'm sorry. I misstated that. Yeah. So it was Dan Charles. He had done something about agriculture and decided after receiving this complaint that he wanted to take a look at it again. And so, you know, this is part of the process, what we should be doing, which is listening.
Yeah, and digging deeper. And
exactly.
When a viewer, an audience member says, hey, I think you could add more to the story, and listening to them and maybe giving them a chance.
Exactly.
All right. Hey, we are done for today. Our listeners can join us again next week at this time for more of Shop Talk.